Begin the current daf, Masechta Bamitzia, daf Vav. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara was explaining the halacha of the Mishnah, that these two people that are eichs and betalis that are holding onto the talis, he says it's his and he says it's his. So they split it with a shvua. So the Gemara asks, what's the point of the shvua? If we say anan sahadi, we say testimony, whatever guy is holding is his, and they're each holding, so they each get half, so then what's the purpose of the shvua? So that Rabbi Yochanan said, it's a takan s'chachamim. It's because we don't want people to go ahead and grab someone else's cloak and say it's his. And then he's going to be able to come into the court, and then they're just going to split it. Because that's all you have to do. Two people holding it, we say that they split it. So because of that, we instituted a shvua. So the Gemara asked, wait a second, you suspect this guy of being a thief, going over to someone else, grabbing his talis, claiming that it's his. So if he's going to be over on Le Sigzel, so he's not going to be over on the Issa Shvua? What's the purpose of making a Shvua? Just like he violates stealing, he's going to violate oath. That's Rabbi Yochanan. No. You don't say, Migidu Chashirah Mamayna Chashirah Ashvasa. An oath by people is very severe. Stealing, okay, you know, whatever, there's ways of getting around it. That's how people look at it. And therefore, a guy would steal, but he wouldn't swear falsely. And that's the purpose of instituting that halacha of Mishnah of Yechliku with a Shvua. And he actually brought a proof. His proof was from the halacha of Ma'ida B'Miktus. How did the Torah make a Shvua Ma'ida B'Miktus for the other half that he's denying so that he should admit, wait a second, if you're suspecting him for lying, meaning for stealing that, so then he's going to lie too with an oath. Obviously, says Rabbi Yochanan, you don't say that. Which the Gemara refuted the proof and actually went on the whole opinion to say that no, we usually do say Migidu Chashir Ma'ida Ashvasa, thus being a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. So you want to understand the halacha Ma'ida B'Miktus, so the Gemara explained this, Ishta Mutika Mishtamit. He doesn't really plan on stealing the money. He just wants to avoid delay. He needs time to get money. So that's why he only admits to part of it. But really, he would ultimately pay it. And therefore, that's the purpose of the Shvua, because he's not Chashir Ma'ina. But if he was, then it would be Chashir Ashvasa. Thus, a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asked a few questions and continues asking on the interpretation that holds that we usually say if someone suspects regarding money, he's even suspect regarding a Shvua. And the Gemara continues and says, if that's the case, that you hold that if someone's Chashir Ma'ina, he's Chashir Ashvasa, then Belahod Amr of Nachman, then take the following halach of Rabbi Nachman. That he says, Mashbi and Isai, even someone that's not Ma'ida B'Miktus, totally denies the entire claim that the guy's claiming from him, we make him take an oath of a Shvuas Hesus, which we explained in the previous stuff, is a rabbinic oath, to seduce someone to admitting that he's really lying. Now, on that the question is, Neima, but then you should say, Migidu Chashir Ma'ina, since he suspects regarding the money, and the reason being is because he has the audacity to totally deny the whole claim, and what's the purpose of taking an oath? Because you obviously suspect him that he's stealing the whole thing. And obviously he's not just avoiding, because he denies the whole thing. If he's avoiding, then he wouldn't be able to just blatantly say, I don't owe you anything. So if you suspect him regarding the money, well then Chashir Ashvasa, and then you suspect him regarding the oath too. What's the purpose of putting the oath over there of Shavuos Hesus if you're suspecting him on the money? Vesu, moreover, another question. Hadatan Reb Chiya, this is Reb Chiya taught in the Braisim regarding the halacha of what's called Chem v'nei al-Pankasai, which actually Rashi asks, why does the Gemara bring this from a Braisa of Reb Chiya when it's a Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, which Tosfos points out is because Rebbe, who put together the Mishnayos, actually got this halacha from Reb Chiya. But either way, it's the halacha of Chem v'nei al-Pankasai, where it's a homeowner tells to the storekeeper, do me a favor, I owe these guys a certain amount of money, you give them the money and I'll pay you back. So the storekeeper tells the owner, I did it. And the workers come and say, he never gave it to us. So each one's coming to the homeowner to claim that you owe us money. Says Reb Chiya, Shneim nishboin menoit lemebal habayis. So both of them swear and collect from the homeowner. He swears that he gave it to them, and that's what you told me to do, and therefore you have to pay me. And they swear he didn't give them anything, and therefore you have to still owe us the money. On that, the question is, ask the Gemara, Neim amigu, but we should say this principle of since. And that is, since definitely one of these two individuals, either the storekeeper or the workers, are definitely the Chashir Ma'ina, definitely suspect regarding the money, because it can't be that he gave and that they didn't take. They're both contradictory. So one of them is for sure suspect regarding the money. So Chashir Ashvasa. So then how can we make both of them take an oath and collect with? He's definitely suspect regarding swearing falsely, according to this opinion. And if that's the case, what's the purpose of giving an oath? Vesu, another question. Hadam Rav Sheshes, from the following halacha of Rav Sheshes. He says, Shalish Shavuos Meshbein Oisei. We make a Shemer Chinam, a watchman who was watching for free, who claims that it was stolen from him, which would exempt him, we make him swear three oaths when he wants to exempt himself. First of all, shvush le b'shatiba. That's just weird that he wasn't negligent, meaning even though it was stolen, maybe he was negligent, and then he would be liable. Shvush le shlach b'yad. He has to swear that he didn't touch the item he was watching to do his own personal work with it. Because if he was what's called shalayich b'yad, he actually stretched out his hand to use it for his own purposes, then he's a thief. And then actually, even if it gets stolen, he's already liable for ein sin. So even if einus happens to it, it's already considered in his domain because he stole it and it's like his, and therefore he would be liable again. And shvush ein b'shusi, a third oath he has to take is that it's not in his domain. Because he might be lying, he might actually be having it, and even if he wants to pay, he might be having it, and he just wants the item. So these are the three oaths that a Shem Echidim has to take when he wants to exempt himself when he claims that it was stolen from him. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Neima, but then let us say, regarding this Shvua, when he says it's not Bershusi, then he says, besides the fact that I'm saying I wasn't Pesheya, I didn't touch it, more of them, I swear it's not by me. So on that, the question is, but then say, this shvu, then he's saying that it's not by him, you should say, since you're suspecting him regarding the money, meaning the whole purpose of that oath is because you're thinking that maybe it is by him, and but he's denying. So if you're suspecting me regarding keeping it, meaning stealing it, then what's the whole purpose of making the oath on that? You're suspecting him for lying, for stealing that money, so then he'll lie in it too, because you hold chashashvasa. So El Rather says the Gemara, from these three points, obviously, we do not say that since someone suspects regarding money, he's also going to be suspected regarding an oath. And rather, it's like Rabbi Yechon had said, because there is a difference even to people regarding stealing and an oath. An oath, take out a sefer Torah, swear by Hashem's name, that's something that people realize that's very severe by them, they wouldn't do. And therefore, there is a purpose for Rabbi Yechon's halacha in explanation of our Mishnah, where that although the person was suspecting him regarding grabbing someone else's talis, which is chashad m'mayna, he's still not chashad ashvasa, he would not come to swear falsely, and that's why we impose the shvua, so that the person should refrain from grabbing someone else's thing and trying to steal it. That was Rabbi Yechon's interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah. Abaye Amar, he disagrees. He says the reason that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yechonah, because the truth is that if we would suspect, like Rabbi Yechonah said, that somebody would go and grab someone else's talis just like that, then he actually would be suspect regarding a shvua, and therefore there would be no point in making a shvua, because then if he think he's going to steal, then he would lie too. Rather, says Abaye, the reason for the shvua in the Mishnah is cheshinan shem milvi yeshana yesh lo yalav. We're concerned that maybe this guy who's grabbing someone else's cloak, actually, there is an old loan that he lent this guy money a while back. Now, he realized that guy, the borrower, forgot all about it. And therefore, he's going to say, you remember the $100 you owe me? He's going to go, what $100? What are you told me? I totally deny it. So he says, look, I have no way of getting my money back. So what he does is he goes and he grabs the guy's talis. Then when he comes to court, he swears that half this value of this talis is his. Now, because the truth is that it really is owed to him. Because even a cloak that's on somebody's shoulder is meshubed to somebody who lent him money. Now, so therefore, says Abaye, the reason why we impose the shvua is so that the guy should have to swear that it was really him who found it, or it's really him that it's his, because we're concerned that, we're not concerned that somebody would steal, because if it would steal, there's no point in the shvua. We're concerned that because the guy really owes him money. Now, you can't just go ahead and grab stuff. You have to go to court. But this guy is saying, I'm desperate. I know I know this guy owes me money. So I'm just going to go ahead and grab it, and that's how I'll get it. So we impose the shvua so that it should be the honesty that comes out of here. Not that he's collecting the money. It should come out that at least he wants to claim his loan. Not that he's just grabbing someone else's thing. Tosfos points out, then so too Abaye would say regarding the proof seemingly that we say, that if you're chashad money, not chashad ashvasa, and Abaye is saying that you are, he would say, like, for example, the halacha of the three oaths of Asher Mechinam, so do the halacha of Nishba v'Noitlin of the Chemen al-Pankasai, are also talking about where we're concerned that maybe this guy has an old loan by the guy, and therefore you can't exempt it without a shvua, and he can't take without a shvua. Now, but in contrast to a guy who is a gazlan or someone that's denying by a deposit, so then you're not going to say that he's valid to say testimony, let's say, because to say to maybe he had an old loan on him, that we don't suspect. But in situations like this, then we say that we're going to make an oath and he would be trustworthy, because although here you have a guy who maybe grabbed someone else's thing, it's not because we're suspecting that he just grabbed to steal. We're suspecting that he grabbed to collect an old loan But again, that doesn't give him any right to just grab it. He has to go through do for his course that the law requires. But that's the concern that we have. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, like Abaye's interpretation, then actually we're right back to the question. Because then what's the purpose of imposing a shvua on these individuals? Because you're suspecting that maybe one of them has an old loan on the other one, and maybe he's really the one that doesn't, it's not really his. But since if he wouldn't have, you're saying that no one would go steal, because if he'd go steal, then there would be no purpose in the shvua anyway. Because Abaye holds migdah chashen mayna is chashash vasa. So the whole reason why we would say to make a shvua is because maybe someone has an old loan that's owed to someone else. If not, he wouldn't grab it. Well, then really, then we're back to the question. Nishka b'lei shvua. Then let him go ahead and take it without a shvua, because he's collecting a loan, which is really owed to him. Because you said a guy wouldn't steal, because if he would, then he would be chashash vasa, and we wouldn't make a shvua anyway. So rather, the Gemara explains, it's not that we're concerned that one of the guys has an old loan that's outstanding to him. Rather, El Chashin Hashem is Safik Milva Yeshna Yeshna Yesh Loyalov. That it's actually, we're concerned that maybe this guy has a doubtful loan that's owed to him from this guy. He's like, I'm not sure, does that guy owe me money? Maybe because out of doubt, then he might come to grab the guy's thing. So that's why we impose a Shvua to make the guy swear, because if the guy really was owed money, then and that's the only reason why he would do it, then we wouldn't impose a shvua. But then the Gemara asks, wait a second. V'lava minan tavis memayinim isveikas, and what's the point again? We're really back to the question again. Because if you're saying this guy would grab money out of doubt, I don't know, does he owe me, does he not owe me? Yeah, I'm going to grab it, maybe he owes it. The mishtabeinam misafik. Your logic is you hold when someone is suspect regarding something, it's even for something more severe like a shvua. You hold Abaye, hold migid chashem mayna chashem shasa. So if regarding money he would doubtfully take it, then a shvua he would also doubtfully violate the shvua. So what's the purpose again? Going back to the question of the shvua. So Amar Rav Sheshet Berei David, he explains there's a difference because parshi inchi misafik shvua v'loy parshi misafik mayna. People would keep away from a doubtful oath, but they wouldn't keep away from a doubtful monetary claim. In other words, when it's a definite violation of money, so then people would stay away. And if someone wouldn't stay away, then you're right. Like Abaye said, then he would be even suspect regarding a shvua. But doubtful is different, says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Because mamon isa b'chazar. Money, out of doubt, I'll take it. Now, obviously, I don't want to violate any isurim. If I find out that a guy doesn't really owe me, I could always give it back. But shvua lesa b'chazar, an oath can't be undone. You take a false oath, you're done. There's no undoing. It's a mu'uvis lo yicholiskin, and that's why that would take the guy. He would take a step back, and out of doubt, I'm not taking a shvua. Taking some of those things, yeah, out of doubt, because if I'm wrong, I'll give it back. So that's why, according to Abaye in the halacha of our Mishnah, we imposed a shvua. Because maybe there's a guy who, I'm not going to steal, but because maybe he has a doubtful loan, and that's why he grabbed it from someone else. And that person could legitimize because I'm not stealing, but I'll give it back if I find out that I'm wrong. So we impose a shvua because although if someone's chashed on the mom and he's chashed shvuasa, he was not really chashed on this taking it out of doubt because he could always give it back versus shvua he can't give back, and that would stop him if he's doing this thing which is inappropriate because he only has a doubtful loan and he has to go to court to take that, and he can't take it in his own hands and take away the other person's talus. So again, those are the two different opinions. Now, halacha v'mishnah, eat like Rabbi Yechanan, because Tarkan's Chachamim, Shalei Kolechad Hoylech B'Teika B'Talitha, Shechaber, basically stealing, and he holds Chashar Moine is Loi Chashar Ashvasa, or like Abaye, that Chashar Moine is Chashar Ashvasa, but the reason of the oath is for a guy that maybe he went and is collecting a Safig Milva, a doubtful loan, and that's why we imposed the Shvur, because that he wouldn't do, although by money he would, because it's Efshe B'Chazar. Now, continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, which we're speaking about, again, two people come to court, both of them are holding on to a talis, so we say the halacha is that yachloiku b'shvu, they split it with an oath. So it says, Bayer b'zeir, ask the following question. Let's say, tokfa echad b'fanenu. Let's say one of them grabs it forcibly away from the other one in front of us. Now, all of the talis is being held by one of the persons. And this happens before they take the oath. Maha, what's the halacha? Now, this is an integral question because a big principle of this halacha is not just their claims, it's also what they're holding on to. What a person's holding on to, that is the anan sahadi, that it's his. Now, here where they're both holding on to, so it sounds like they both have that chazaka. So then their claims come into play about what they're claiming, and then if it's half and half, so we split it half and half. But here the question is, now when one guy grabbed it away, he's the only guy holding it, what would the halacha be? So the Gemara wonders, Hecha Dami, what's the case talking about? And that is, if the other guy who now suddenly is not holding it anymore is quiet, Well, that's oidoyle. Obviously, he admits. That's the principle known as shtika kaida. Why isn't he protesting? Obviously, it's because he really admits it's that guy's. So, of course, it's going to be that guy's. And if he's screaming, what? Why are you grabbing away my talis? What should he have done? Punched him in the face? The guy grabbed it away. So obviously, because the guy grabbed it away, it doesn't give him any more power over than what they had coming into the court. We saw them both holding it. Well, paskin how it was beforehand. What's the question? Says the Gemara, it's necessary. When the guy grabbed it away, everyone's in court. These two guys are holding on to it. I found it. And one guy rips it out from the other one. The other guy's silent. Then he starts screaming after that. That is the question, my, what's the halacha? And that is, mid de ishtik, do we say that since he was originally silent, must be that he admits really it's not his? Or maybe, kivin de katzavachashta, since now he's screaming, although it wasn't right away, igloi milsa, what it reveals to us is the haidishasik mikara, although he was silent in the beginning, it's not because he was admitting. Because obviously he didn't, because now he's screaming. Rather, because he thought the rabbis are seeing what's going on. Well, I have to say something? They see he's grabbing it away. And when he realized no one's doing anything, then he started screaming. So that's a question. The shtika that he had originally, and then he screams, how do we qualify that shtika? Was it a hida, or was it just because he thought the rabbis would say something, and he didn't say anything, and that's why he ended up screaming, so therefore it's not an admission. So Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Toshima, come in here, we'll bring a raya from the following brisa that qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah. The brisa says, when did we say the halacha of our Mishnah? When two people are arguing about a talis, he says it's his, and he says it's his, that they're going to split it with a shavua. It's b'med v'amrum, when is that said? Sheshnei madukimba, if both of them are holding on to the talis. Aval hoisa talis yaisis, but if the talis was going out in front of court, mitachas yodish alechemehem, underneath the hand of only one of them, he's the only one holding on to it, and the other guy's not holding on to it. Then says the brisa, amoitze mechaver, the one who wants to take it away from the other person, Allah varai, it's on him to bring the proof. He would have to bring witnesses to say that it's his, because the guy who's holding on to it is the muhsik, and therefore then you would say, not yachleku. Now, that asks the Gemara, hechidami. What is the case of the brisa talking about? That is, if you would think to translate the brisa literally as the words sound like, that only one guy was holding it when they came into court, well, pshita, it's obvious. The guy who's holding on to it, we always say that a person is muhsik on what he has, the other guy who claims that it's his would have to bring witnesses. So Ella, rather, must be talking about shetukfa echad befeneinu, must be in the case that we're describing, where they were both holding it, and then one guy grabbed it away. Now he's the only one holding it, where originally the guy was silent, and then he screamed, because again, if it's either one always silent or always screaming, that was also an obvious halacha. So must be it's that case. And yet we still see, that the one who grabbed it away gets to keep it, must be because we do qualify it as a shtika kaida, as the guy had admitted that it's not really his. Unless it's a gemara loy, no proof from this brisa. Because hachamai skin, what are we talking about here in this brisa? A different case. The guys came in front of us as the case of our Mishnah, where both of them are holding on to it. And moreover, and we told them, like the halacha in our Mishnah, we said, go split it. And they went out. Now they came back into court when one of them is holding on to it. Now, hi, Amr, I do ideally. This guy came back in the court and said, we went outside. I said, look, what are you lying? You're going to court. Why are you doing this? And the guy admitted to me. That's why I'm holding it. So it's mine. I don't have to split it with him. For hi, Amr, the other guy says, no. But you want to know why he's holding on to it? Why did I let go? Because I rented it to him. That's why he has it. But don't think for a second that it's his and that we don't have to split it anymore. With that's the halacha that the Brice is saying, Damrinli, we tell the guy who let go of it, wait a second. Up until now, you suspected him for being a robber because you're claiming it's his, and that the fact that he wants to say that it's his, you're saying that he's trying to steal from you. Now you, quote, rented it to him without witnesses? Who would in their right mind do something like that and rent it to the guy who they think is stealing from him? Obviously, you're lying. And obviously that other guy is correct, that you admit it, and that's why he's the one holding it, and that's why you let go of it, and that's why the halacha is moitzi mechavel v'arai, but nothing to do with the way we describe the case of someone grabbing in front of someone in front of the courts and holding it to say that he was shasig v'achik tzavech. That's not the case. The case we're talking about where one guy is holding it is where after we had the court case, one guy comes back in, and the other guy claims he rented him. Obviously that there's no foundation for such a claim, and that's why it's the guy who's holding it gets to keep it. Or the Ibai Yisema, the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, Kedetani, actually, the words are literally as the Brisa says it. The Asulu Kaman Kitafas Lachad Benayu. That it's really talking about that one guy came in holding the talis by himself. Now, the question was, well, that's pretty obvious. And why would the Braisa tell us this halacha, mitzmech balabraya? Of course, it's because v'idach misrach basruchi. The other guy is holding on to the edges of it, trying to take it away from the other guy. Now, that's the chiddush that vafil lesumchis, in other words, even according to Sumchis, that he's very lenient when it comes to the halachas of splitting something that's in doubt, because the Amr, he says, in general, mamen hamutal b'safik, when you have money that's in doubt, chalkim b'lei shvu'u, you split it even without an oath. In other words, he doesn't even require any of the parties to make an oath. Now, for Sumchis, it was necessary for the Braisa to tell us that in such a case that we're describing over here, then Moedah Sumchis. Sumchis would agree that even if the one who's Misach Sruchi trying to pull the talis from the other guy who's really holding it by himself, that even with a Shvuah, we wouldn't let him split it with the other guy. Because this is not the case that Sumchis meant when he said it's a Mamel Amot B'Safik to be Chalkin. The reason being is because this Sircha Lav Kulmi, grabbing at the edges of someone else who's really the holding it himself, is not considered significant to even create a situation of doubt. Because this is not what's called Shur Shachad Lefanecha, which is the doubt is there, and it would therefore wouldn't be similar to the case of where Simchas is mentioned about Bekamadav Membav Men Aleph, when we find the fetus there on the side, where, yeah, no one has a clue what happened. He's saying like this, but the element is there, we don't know when the injury happened to the cow to know if the fetus was inside or not. That's where he says, okay, then you chalkum leishvot. But here we have no doubt whatsoever because Sircha, what is this? The guy tugging at the end? No, this guy's holding it himself. The other guy's just grabbing at the edges. That was the chiddush of the Braisa. Yeah, if he was the only one holding on to it, of course. But it means to say he's holding on to it and the other guy's pulling to tell us that even according to Sumchis, we wouldn't say Yachleiku even if the guy made a Shvua, where usually Sumchis says you could be Yachleiku even without a Shvua. That's the necessity of the chiddush of this Braisa. So again, no raya from this Braisa regarding the question that we had as we had two different approaches. So the Gemara goes back to the question and says, so im timtze leima, says the Gemara, if you want to say regarding our question and to resolve it, to say that if tokfa echad bifaneinu, that if let's say one guy does grab, two guys holding onto the talis, the halacha of our Mishnah, and one guy grabs it in court, grabs it to himself, that that we take it away from him. What are you doing? We're in court over here. Don't start grabbing. We say, oh, it's mine, you see. No, we split it. So then says the Gemara, if that's the halacha, then Hikdisha, if let's say one of the two parties is Makdish the Talis, without grabbing it away to himself, then obviously there ain't the Mekudeshes. Obviously it would not be considered Hikdish, because we don't say the person's ability to be Makdish something to be more than his ability of grabbing it to himself. Meaning if we say for him, we don't consider it his. Definitely we don't consider if he's Makdish it as if it was his. Because hektish is when a person has rights to do something to it, he's taking it into a different... If he can't take it into his own domain, he definitely can't take it into hektish's domain to take away the other half from that other person. But asks the Gemara as follows. Im timtze leima tokfa echad bifaneinu. But if you say regarding our question that we had, that if one guy grabs away from the other guy in front of us, that ein mitzin esem yado, that we do not take it away from him, in other words, because we interpret a guy's initial shtika, the other party's silence, even though he ended up screaming. We interpret that as an admission, and therefore we say the guy who grabbed it could keep it. But then the question is, Hekdesha b'loy takvamahu. What's the halacha if the guy didn't grab it away from the other guy, but before they took the oaths, he went and he says, you know what, I'm makdish the whole talis. What would the halacha be? So the Gemara explains the question. Kivin da mamar, since the master says, Amirasi l'gavai kimisarasi lehed yadami, the halacha is that verbal rights to hektish is the same as a commoner giving over physically the object to another person. Now, so therefore, commanded talk vidami. Essentially, these words of being makdishit is the same thing with the guy being shaysig and then sever as if grabbing it away. Because physically taking an object is the same as verbally giving something over to hektish. It's the same thing, halachically, same mechanics. So therefore, it's commanded talk vidami. It's like he grabbed it away. So therefore, just like if we said that you grab it away, you could keep it, if you makdish it, it stays by hektish. Or maybe says the Gemara, then no. Hashta, in this case, mio holy takva, ultimately, he didn't grab it away from the other guy, and therefore then he would not be able to makdish it. Why? Because it says in the pasuk in the Yikra, it says, v'ish ki yakdish is basic kodesh v'gema, where it talks about the halacha of a person's ability to be makdish, something to hektish. It says, if a person will be sanctify his house as hektish, we learn that, what are we considering? We're comparing a person's house to hektish. To say ma based b'shusha, just like a person's house is in his domain. So therefore, what is in his domain, he could be makdish. Av kol b'shusha, whatever is in his domain, he could be makdish. That would exclude this case where it's not in his domain because the other guy is holding onto the other half. Now, if he grabbed it, it would be by him. So too, you want to say that if he's makdish it, it's going somewhere else. But ultimately, since it's not in his domain, he can't be makdish it. So he doesn't have even the, yes, verbally doing that would do it, but he doesn't have the rights to verbally do it because you can't be makdish something if it's not yours. And this guy's holding onto the other half, so you can't be makdish his half. That's the Gemara's question. If you say, what would the halacha be if he was makdish it? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, let's bring a proof. Because from the following incident, Dahi, as we continue to Talmud Beis, Masusad was a certain bathhouse, the two people were arguing about the ownership of their bathhouse. Hi Amar Didihu, one guy was saying, this is my bathhouse. But Hi Amar Didihu, the other guy was saying, you're a liar, this is my bathhouse. Now, Kamchad Menayu Akdisha, one guy got up and said, I'm fed up with this. He went, he's Makdisha, I'm being Makdisha to Hashem. Now, Parshimine, so they refrained from bathing anymore in this bathhouse. Rav Chananya, Rav Ishiya, Bukul Rabbanan. All the rabbis said, we're not using this bathhouse anymore. Now, and the reason for that is because maybe this guy was the owner and he's Makdish it. Now, which is essentially the same question that we're discussing over here, as we'll see in the Gemara, where we have two people fighting over something, and one guy didn't grab it away, rather he was Makdish it. And we see that the rabbis, they stopped using it. So, only Rav Ishiya, the rabbis, Rav Ishiya was one of the rabbis who stopped using the bathhouse, said to Rabbah, look, when you go to Rav Chisda in Kafri, which is the name of a place, ask him this question, ask him, what's the halacha? Do we have to stop using the bathhouse or not? Now, Ki Asla Surah, when he came to Surah, meaning he was passing through Surah on his way to Kafri, so Amalei Rav Amnuna, so he encountered Rav Amnuna, and Rav Amnuna told him, Masnitnihi, it's a Mishnah, Masechtas Tiras, that will answer your question. What's the answer? The Mishnah talks about over there, Safik Bechairis, when there's a halachic doubt regarding firstborns. So, for example, let's say an animal that gave birth, and we don't know if it had already once given birth to a child, and therefore this second one now is not the Bechair, and hence it doesn't have the halacha of Bechair, Kedushat Bechair, or we're not sure, maybe it never gave birth before, and therefore this is the first child. So, regarding doubts in Bechairis, says the Mishnah, Echad Bechair Adam, whether it's a doubt regarding the firstborn of a woman, of a man, meaning, for example, let's say the woman had miscarried once before. Now, we're not sure if she had miscarried something that would exempt the halacha of Bechair, because it was a real viable, it was a child that was already after a certain age, and hence that was the firstborn child, and the second one is not, and hence doesn't have to be redeemed by the Kayan. Or maybe it was just a sack of wind, there wasn't anything significant, and therefore the one that comes afterwards is really the firstborn. Or v'echad b'chay behema, whether it's a doubt regarding the halacha of behema, and that is because there's halachas of firstborn both by humans, where the firstborn has to be redeemed by the Kayan for 5 slam. There's also halacha of the firstborn by an animal, which is one of the chafdal matnas kahuna, has to be given as a Quranic gift to the Kayan. So, same thing would apply if, let's say, there's a doubt regarding an animal, let's say a sheep. Bein tahor and bein tameim, regarding the doubt of the firstborn of the animal, is whether it's a kosher animal, like a sheep or a cow, or whether bein tameim, or even non-kosher animal, which the only one non-kosher animal is by the donkey. The firstborn donkey is called the petr chamor, where either it has to be redeemed with a sheep and given to the kayin, or if the person doesn't want to do that, then they cut off the head of the donkey. But again, there's a kedushas bechair on the firstborn of whether a kosher animal or non-kosher animal, and let's say there's a doubt. Says the Mishnah, Hamitzi mechaveroi olav araya. So the one that wants to take it away from the other one, it's incumbent upon him to bring proof, to bring witnesses, to verify that it was what they're claiming, because the one who's holding on to it is the muhsik. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now, and this is what Rav Amnun is trying to bring a proof from, is that if the Yisrael, who's the owner of this animal, is holding on to it, then the Kayin, who wants to get his Kohanic gifts of the firstborn, he's considered Maitzemech Haber Olav Araya, and he would have to bring proof through witnesses that it is the firstborn. Now, but if what's called Takfa Kayin, this is the famous sugya known as Takfa Kayin, if the Kayin grabs it, and the Yisrael is silent, and then he screams, because if it's either or, then it would be obvious, so he's silent and then he screams, then the Kohen would be the Muchzik, and the Yisrael would want to be Maitzimech Avel Avarai, because we're not sure. We're not sure, is it a Bechair or not? So we say, whoever's holding on to it, he's the Muchzik, he's the one that's presumptive, that's because that's Allah, whoever's holding on to it, there's a Chazaka, that it's theirs. So if the Yisrael's still holding on to it, then the Kohen has to bring proof. If the Kohen grabbed it, then the Yisrael has to bring proof That's what it sounds like to our Nuna from the halacha of the Mishnah, and therefore we say either way, hamoitzeh mechaveir all over raya. Now, so therefore you would see from that halacha, first of all, that there is this halacha that if someone grabs away from someone else, that then he can keep it. Now, and obviously that's a different halacha than the case of what we were discussing before regarding in court and one guy grabbing away, but it's the same concept where someone grabs it away, he was first silent, then he screams, that the kohen could keep it. And therefore we would interpret that silence as an admission, that it is a bechayr, and then it would be hametz mechaber levaraya in the reverse. But Tani Allah says Rav Nunan that we learned in the Braisa regarding this Mishnah that asurim begiza ubavayda, that these doubtful firstborns, in all situations, meaning even if the Yisrael still has it, the Kohen did not grab it away, they're forbidden to shear the wool and to work with this animal. Out of doubt, because maybe it is sanctified, maybe it really is a firstborn. Now, says Rav Nunan, now he explains how you could resolve the question from this Braisa. Now, this halacha where we say, as we said in the Mishnah, the way Rav Nun is reading it, takfu kain, if the kain grabs it away from the Yisrael, you don't take it away from him, as he learns, because the Ketanya says, whoever wants to take it away from the other one, he has to bring the proof, which sounds like whether it's the kain or the Yisrael, whoever has it, the other one has to bring proof. Now, v'chiloi takfu, but what we see is, but even when he does not grab it away, we see the severity of the ability of being makdish of its kedusha, that we see asurin begizu uvavoid, that we see that it's forbidden to shear the wool or to work with it, even if the kohen didn't grab it away. So what do you see from there? We see that if you say takfu, if someone grabs it away, that emotin es miyada, that we wouldn't take it away from him, that even when he doesn't grab it, but if he's makdish it, if there's a hektish element, that it does become a kudashas. Because that's the halacha over here by the Bechar. Where it's Safek Bechar, we're in doubt. Same as the case we described in Amin Alv, where we're in doubt. If one guy would grab it away, we wouldn't take it away from him, as we're describing the Kayin. So what we see is, even when he's not grabbing it away, we say the hektish element of the Bechar makes it forbidden, and therefore you can't do Giza, and you can't do Avoid with it. So you see, to answer the question, that when we have a doubtful situation, if the one guy would grab it, he'd be able to keep it. Therefore, same thing for the bathhouse, and same thing for the halacha we said on Amud Aleph, which is, because the guy grabbed it from the other guy in court, if he would say he could keep it, then we'd say if he's makdish, it's going to be hektish. As you see here, it's going to be hektish, even if he didn't grab it. So Amali Rabbi said to Rav Amnuna, wait a second, Kedushas Bechor Ka'amrit? You're trying to resolve the question from the sanctity of a firstborn? Says, no, truthfully I would tell you that by the firstborn, that actually even if takvu kayin, if the kayin grabs it, actually we would take it away from the kayin. Not like the way Rav Nuna was learning the halacha of the Mishnah over there. Because actually, our assumption is that it always retains the chazaka of the Yisrael. And the kayin is always going to be considered mitzvah mechavel rai, because what? Because you grabbed it away, you had the muchzik? How could that make you a muchzik? What rights did you have? If we see someone grabbing away someone else's talis, we say, oh, he's the mukhtik? No, we saw you taking it away. Here, we don't know if it's a bukhar or not. So if you want to take it from the soul, you have to first prove it. If you grab it away, what does that do anything for us? It doesn't reveal anything to us. We would take it away from the kain. We would give it back to the owner. Now, vafilahachi, but in spite of that, asurim begizu uvavoida. It would still, meaning he thought, Rav Nuna thought the logic was, wait a second. How could it be asur begizah avoda? Must be that, first of all, I have to interpret the Mishnah. Must be if the kohen would grab it, he'd be able to keep it. And then I can see the logic. So therefore, even if when he doesn't grab it, but just like I'm trying to answer, then the hektish, we could consider it like a bechar. That's why if the kohen would grab it, we'd say he could keep it. And therefore, we say the kedushas bechar is there even when he doesn't grab it. Says Rabbi, no, that it's not true. If the kohen grabbed it, he'd not be able to keep it. Because we don't entertain until we know otherwise that it's a bechar. Because for the safek, we say the Yisrael is the muchzik. So then the question really becomes, so then why would it be asur begizav avayda? That's not because that there we see some zchuyos, some merits, some strength for the kohen, some rights in this bechar to resolve the question that we were asking, that if we could grab something away, that we don't take it away from the other person, then the hektish is going to be hektish. That's not the reason. Here it's because of nothing to do with another person, of monetary law, of interpersonal. It's actually because of the guy himself, the Yisrael himself, has a suffix iser There's a suffik iser of if it might be a bechayr, let's say monetarily, and that's what Rab is trying to say, that the kohen has no rights. You have nothing to do with this. It's a suffik, up until you clarify that it is a firstborn, you have nothing. And if you grab it away, we're going to take it away from you. Then why is asa begizva avoida? It's because for me, the Yisrael, maybe it's a really bechayr. And therefore, it's going to be forbidden as halach has been adam lamakim to shear the wool of something that's a kachim, that's a carbon, that's a, which a bechayr is. And therefore, the reason is because the kedusha habo meileh shani. Here, by the firstborn animal, it's a sanctity that comes by itself. Because if it's a firstborn, automatically it becomes kaddish, and therefore the person himself, the owner, has to be in doubt regarding that. But let's say regarding the bathas that you're trying to resolve the question, there the hektish only came through that guy's oral declaration. That says a rabbiter of Nuna. I would tell you that even if you would say, if the one guy would grab it, we wouldn't take it away from him. Still, I would tell you, if he's makdish it without grabbing it, it would not be hektish because, as we had said, which was the other side of the option of the question on Amud Aleph, a guy can't be makdish something that's not b'shusa. But don't bring a raya from this Mishnah and the Brisa clarifies it because it's not the way you're interpreting it. The reason why we say it's asa b'gizva avoda is not because of the rights of the kohen, as we're saying, because takfu, oh, you could keep it some us, but you could be makdish it too. No. The reason why it's asa b'gizva avoda is because Pashit, because the halacha of Bukhar. Nothing to do with the kohen, and the kohen actually has no rights in it. And I could even tell you about Bukhar, the takfu, if he grabbed it, we actually would take it away from him. And therefore, there's no raya to if we say takfu that we don't take it away, that the guy, that the person could be makdash it. Now, Amle Rav Chanan, Rabbis, Rav Chanan said to Rabba, Tani de Mesayelach. Actually, a braisa supports what you're contending, that by a suffik Bukhara, not like the Rav Amnuna had read that Mishnah, that if the kohen grabs it away, we actually take it away from him. And that we don't say hamotzi mecha b'raya both ways, like Rav Nuna has said. What's the raya? So actually it's brought on Maseiros HaShas, that although it's said that it's a braisa, actually the primary text of this is a Mishnah in Bechiris Daf Tes Amud Aleph, and it says that the custom of the Shas of the Gemara is to abridge it, as Tesis says in Sukkot Daf Daled Amud Aleph. So it's really coming from a Mishnah in Bechiris that says, hasfekis, the doubtful animals, which the Gemara on top of the next daf will explain, what we're talking about over here is doubtful animals of pidyon petach hamor. The halacha is when there's a firstborn from a donkey, so then you have to redeem, that's called petach hamor, then you have to redeem that donkey with a sheep and give the lamb to the kohen. Now, here we're talking about a situation when it's a suffik pidyon petach hamor. How so? Because it's not clear if this donkey is the firstborn animal or not. So it's a suffik petach hamor. So what this owner did is he separated a sheep to remove the iser, because possibly there's iser deraisa. It might be a firstborn, might not. So again, he has his own bein odom lamakim to his obligation to Hashem to deal with, nothing to do with the kohen. So he separates a sheep in doubt for the iser, but he could keep it for himself, that sheep. And he doesn't have to give it to the kohen, because again, that's back to the halachic principle we were just talking about of a mitzvah mechavah l'varayah. The kohen has to prove that it was a petach hamor to say that the pidyon petach hamor is his. Now, moreover, is that in general, a pidyon petach hamor, again, which is the sheep that was transferred from the kedusha of the firstborn of the donkey, is something that has halachic obligation of taking ma'aser from it. So therefore, let's say there's a kohen that has 10 petach hamors that were inherited to him from his grandfather, who was a Yisrael. So the kohen would have to separate 10 sheep for those petach hamors, and then take ma'aser from those. 1/10 has to then have the halacha of ma'aser, ma'aser behema, which has its own halachas. But then again, then he could keep it because of him being a kohen. But you have to have the halacha of ma'aser behema even for pidyon petach hamor. Now, so that's in general regarding pidyon petach hamor. But therefore, in a situation like we're describing over here, when there's a doubtful pidyon petach hamor that a Yisrael has, so again, if it was a real pidyon petach hamor, he would have to give it to the kohen. Now, it's a doubtful pidyon petach hamor. So he has 10 sheep that are doubtfully pidyon petach hamor, says, or even one of them being a doubtful pidyon petach hamor, says the Braisa, or again that Mishnah, that these suffik pidyon petach hamors are nechnasim ladir. They go into the pen, which is a reference to the halacha of the way they would do the ma'aser behema, was they had to give one of every 10th animal had to be taken off as ma'aser behema. So they put in the pen, very, very narrow opening, and the 10th animal would be branded with a red dye, so to know which one was the 10th animal that has that unique halachas of Maisa Behema. So the halacha the Brice is saying is that these doubtful pidyon petach hamors would go with all the other sheep into the pen, lehisaser, to be taken in the tally of having 1/10 of those animals taken as Maisa. And if it goes out the 10th one, then it goes out and that becomes the one that's the Maisa Behema. That's the halacha of the Brice. Says Rav Chananya to Rabba, the Isoka Daitach, if you would entertain to say that Takful Kayin, that if the Kayin grabs a doubtful matnas kuhuna, which in, we were describing in the previous halacha of Bechir, that Eimetina Isamiyadai, like the way Rav Amnuna tried saying, that we wouldn't take it away from him. Now, what that means to say is that when you have a doubtful matnas kuhuna, like in the case of what we're quoting now from this brisa, a kohen, that means to say, has some rights in it. Because if he had no rights in it, he wouldn't be able to grab it and keep it. If we're saying if he grabs it, then he keeps it, and then the Yisrael becomes a mitzvah mechavah l'braya, then obviously it means he has some rights in it. So if you would say, like Rav Amnuna tells Rav Chananya to Rabba, then amay nechnas l'dir, then why does these suffik pidyon petach hamors go into the pen? The problem is, nimtza zeh, it comes out that this one, if this doubtful pidyon petach hamor, which again might be the kayans, because maybe it was really a transfer of a real petach hamor, which was the bechor, and then the pidyon, which is that sheep, has to go to the kayan, but we're not sure, so we're saying, okay, out of doubt, he has to separate it, but he can keep it for himself. Then the question is, how could he use this animal to go into the tally of the 10 animals, and if it turns out to be the 10th one, then the Yisrael is poitim memayna b'memayna shel kayan. He's exempting his obligations of money, which is to take 1/10 of his animals and give that one for the halacha ma'isa behema, but he's now using the kohen's money, because the kohen has rights in this too, as we're saying. If you say takvu kohen imitzi nesim menda, that means to say he has rights in it. That means to say we might be using the kohen's money to exempt his own obligations. Obviously, says Rav Chananya to Rabba, must be like you said. Takvu kohen is mitzi nesim menda. The kohen has no rights in the suffik matnas kuhuna. So if he has no right, so therefore, of course, this Yisrael could take the suffik pidyon petach hamor and put it into the tally of the ma'aser, and if it turns out to be the 10th one, of course, it's my money. Of course, I could use it to exempt my obligation of my other 9 animals. Now, Amli Abayis, Abayis said to Rav Chananya, Imishum ha, if your proof for Rabba is from this brisa, loit seyei lamar. That wouldn't support Rabba, who was Abayis' rabbi, and this was said to the master, that wouldn't be a proof for him. Because I could tell you, says Abaye, that Hachma Iskin, what are we talking about over here in this Braisa? Kugun de Leslei Elatisha Behu. It'd be talking about where this guy has only 9 other animals and this one, meaning this doubtful Pidyon Petach Hamor. Which there, says Abaye, Diman of Shach, that either way you look at it, he would be allowed to use this one, even if it turns out to be the 10th one, as the Maisa Behema, to exempt his obligations. Because he says as follows. If this person is a bar chiyuvahu, if he's obligated to take meiser, in other words, what would that scenario be? If let's say this sheep, which was redeeming this petach hamor, which really was not a pidyon petach hamor, because actually the bechor was the donkey was not a bechor, was not a firstborn. Therefore, it turns out that this sheep is really his own. So it turns out that this Yisrael has 10 sheep, and therefore he's obligated to take off meiser. So shabakom meiser. So he's doing a valid meiser, because as we said, that's on the option that it wasn't the bechor. And therefore the sheep is his own, so he has 10 sheep, and this animal is his own, so that's a valid Maisa Behema. And moreover, says Abaye, and even if Ilav Bar Chiyuvahu, even if that I could contend that maybe the Kohen does have rights in it, meaning maybe that this animal is the Kohen's. Now, if so, then the Yisrael is not exempting himself with the Kohen's money, because Tishala Barasturuninu, 9 animals does not have the halachic obligation of Maisa Behema, because that 10th one wasn't his. So he only had 9 animals. So he says, look at this. Either way you look at it, he can go ahead and take it as Maisa Behema and give it to the Kohen, because either way, if it was his, so then he has 10. and it is his, and he could exempt himself with that one. And if it's not his, so it's the Kohen's, so he didn't have an obligation to Ma'aseh Behem in the first place. He's not exempting himself with anything. So either way you look at it, this guy's not exempting himself with the Mammon of Kohen, and there's no proof to Rabbah to say there must be that when there's Safek Matnas Kohuna, the Kohen has no rights in it. No, there's no proof. Here that you could use it is not because we're showing that the Kohen has no rights in it. It's because even if he had rights in it, that wouldn't be exempting the Yisrael with the Kohen's money. Now, Hadram Abaya, however, ultimately Abaya then went back and said and retracted, and he says, no, Lav Milsahi Da'amri. There's no substance to what I said, because actually, Rav Hanania is correct, this must be a proof and a support to Rabbah. And the reason being, because if a Kohen would have rights in Safek Matnas Kohuna, meaning when there's a doubtful Matnas Kohuna, and then it would turn out that all these sheep are doubtfully obligated Ma'aser, or maybe not obligated Ma'aser, as we're saying that he wanted the same amount of Shach, but it's doubtful if there's an obligation of Ma'aser in the first place. And that says Abaya, if there's an element of doubt in Ma'aser Behema, there's actually no halachic obligation of taking off Ma'aser Behema, and therefore there's no purpose of what we said that he should take off Ma'aser and Monav Shach. Therefore, my situation, my scenario, says Abaya, wouldn't be valid. Because the Sveika, anytime there's a doubt if there's an obligation or if there's not, La bar surihi. There's no halacha of taking off ma'aser, of taking off 1/10 of the animal, even where you could say, the way Abai was describing, that memanav shach, he should do it, you don't say that. And again, that's why, if we're talking about this halacha, that he can use this safek pidyon pentach hamor as using it for ma'aser, then obviously you have to say, like Rabbah, that must be that there's no rights for the kohen in it, and therefore if taktav kohen would be ma'itzinus and menu, because or else he would be exempting himself with the kohen's money. Because what's the proof? Ditnan, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris, that talks about a scenario where someone was doing the process of Ma'aser Behema. He was separating his sheep, and he started counting, and they're going out from this narrow opening from the pen. He's counting 1, 2, 3. Now, before they reached the number 10, kafetz echad min hamanuyin l'toichan. One of those which they had already counted, that was already on the outside, jumped back into the pen, and he doesn't recognize which one was the one that was already counted that now jumped back in. Says the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris, kulan peturin. All the animals are exempt from the halacha of Ma'aser Behema, whether those animals that already left, and whether those animals that are still inside the pen, even if there are 1,000. What's the reason for that? So the reason for that is because those that left already is, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote this halacha, what's called minyan haro. In other words, if someone was counting animals, 1, 2, 3, and they were going out of the pen, that it was fit for them to be completed for a decalogue, meaning for a number 10, and to get to the number of Ma'aser. So the Gemara in Bechayris, and our Gemara here shortly is going to quote it, calls that minyan haro. It was fit to reach that requisite number. Then even if they don't end up reaching it, those who already passed are going to be potter. So whatever's on the outside is exempt. Moreover, those that are inside the pen are also going to be exempt because of this one guy who already went out, this one animal that jumped back in that's now mixed into all of them. The halacha the Torah tells us is kol asher yaver tachas hashebet. It says that whatever passes underneath the rod is for the halacha of ma'aser, which tells us, but not if it already passed through the rod, then it doesn't have the halach of Ma'aser. Now the problem is, every one of these animals now is doubtful if it already passed through or not. So therefore it says the Mishnah, they're all going to be exempt. You don't have to do any more Ma'aser Behema, they could all go and you could keep them all. Now that says Abaya, if you're entertained to say, Sveika bayi suri, like he wanted to say to how to reject the raya for Rabbah and say that it's a situation of doubt. If you say that by Safik you take off Ma'aser, then la'ashim amanav shach. Then how do you understand this Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris? Then either way you look at it, he should have to take off Ma'aser. Why? Because ultimately this guy might be able to fulfill the halacha of the Torah and as the mitzvah of Ma'aser requires, because there's a way that he could do it and take off Ma'aser from those animals that are inside the pen, Meman of Shach, either way you look at it, he'll be doing something appropriately. Why? Because all those 10 this animal jumped in. Okay, fine. Whatever's on the outside is min haro. But whatever's left inside, let's start counting again. So we'll count 10 going out, and as follows. The E, if this one that from this 10th one, let's say this group of 10, is bar chiyuvuhu, is one that's obligated, meaning it's the appropriate one. Let's say, in other words, from this 10 that we're sending out right now, none of those 10 is from the animal that jumped back in. So Shapa Meiser, and that's a valid Meiser. You're fulfilling your obligation of Meiser. Now, moreover, says Abaye, Ve'ilav barchiyubahu, and even if, let's say, we'll say that from this 10, that it's not an obligatory group. For example, let's say, from these 10 that are going out now, the one that had gone out had come back into this group of 10, and therefore this 10th is not the 10th one to be Meiser, so fine. But that's still nothing wrong, because Nifter, because they're exempt from Meiser, Bimin Haro, with this halacha that we're quoting of what's appropriate account, meaning when you had counted 1, 2, 3, inside the 10, you had many sheep which were fit to be completing the number of the count that you were counting for those that already had gone outside. And that exempts those that went outside. Therefore, even if this 10th one that's going out is not the 10th one, but it's anyways going to be exempt, because even if it's the one from outside, it's also exempt. So again, either way you look at it, if it's that one is not from this 10, so again, the one, the 10th one, is the old regular 10 animals. And even if it is the 10th one is the one from outside, it's also going to be an exemption. Why? Because of the halacha min haro. Because the Amar Rava, Rava says in Masechtas Bechorot of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, min haro. Again, as we're describing this halacha, if someone had 10 sheep and he counted 5, 1 passed through, 2 passed through 3, 4, and 5, then one of those that weren't counted yet, that are still inside the pen, died. Says Rava, Paiter, this that were counted are exempt. Now, those that weren't counted, that are still inside, so then you combine them to another group, which there's different periods, what's called the Granis, 3 times in the year, that you go ahead and you wait for those which are going to be born, the sheep, until you reach that next time period. And then you combine those that are inside the pen with these. But the primary thing that Abaye wants from this is the ones that were counted already are exempt for this halacha of Minyan Haro. And we learned this out from the, as we said, from Asher Yavar, that will pass through the rod, but not those which already passed. Because whatever passed through, and you never ended up reaching 10, then you don't pass it through another time. And meaning, even if we can have more sheep that are going to be born, you don't combine them together. So therefore, says Abaye, says, I don't understand this halacha, the Mishnah, Masechtas Bechorot. Why does it say that if one of them jump back in, they're all going to be potter? But why, if my premise is correct, the way I wanted to interpret that brisa to not be approved to Rabbah, that I described that he only has 9 animals and 1, which is that Suffolk one. So then, look, either way, he can use it to exempt himself, because if it is his, then fine. And if it's not his, so then he's not chayiv. So go ahead and do Meiser. Says Abaye, no, because I'm proving to you now that when there's a situation of Suffolk, there is no chayiv of Meiser Behema. Why? Because I have a question here in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechorot. Here, Meman of Shach, if you say that by Suffolk you could do Meiser, this guy might be fulfilling his obligation that he has midaraisa of taking off Meiser. You should be concerned for that, because look, there's one animal jumped in. There's 1,000 animals in here. Now, it might be this one, might not. If it's not, so you'll be fulfilling your obligation of Meiser. And even if it is the one that's inside, so what's the problem? There's no problem, because Minyan Haro is exempt. That animal that was already counted is an exemption to halacha of Meiser. So either way, there's no problem that this was the one that already was counted. Either way, either fulfilling or not, but either way, there's an exemption with that 10th one that you're taking. Either because it's the Min Haro one, which is exempt, and hence from all those 10, that one, there's no 10 over there, so they're exempt. Or it's exempt because it's a regular animal, not the one that jumped back in, and it's a valid 10th. Either way, the one that you're using to fulfill your obligation is going to be a fulfillment of the obligation. So why does it say that kulam baturin? Why don't you say that you should be concerned that maybe you should fulfill your obligation mitzvah suffik for ma'aseh behema? So Ella, rather, as we continue the top of Zayin and Alf, says Abaye, ma'aseh lecha lemema. So what do you have to say? Why didn't they obligate the person to take off ma'aseh meman of shach? Either way you look at it, here you have an obligation of the 10th animal to fulfill the concern of ma'aseh behema. So you have to say, Asiri Vade Amrachmana. The Torah said, when you have to take off Meiser, it's only a definite 10th one. V'loy Asiri Safik. But the Torah did not require you to take off Meiser in a situation of doubt. Now, therefore, every 10th one over here is doubt. Because even if the one that was exempt goes out and count number 5, The 10th one is not number 10 anymore. It's only number 9. Because the one that was exempted already is not from the count. And therefore, it comes out that number 10 is not number 10. So therefore, since it's always going to be a doubt, there is no halachic obligations in situation of doubt regarding ma'aser. And that's what Abaye is proving from this Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus. So it says Abaye, sahachinami. So then let's go back to the Braise. The same thing is also over here. When we have a Suffolk Pidyon Petach Amor, and I wanted to say, oh, it's no proof to Rabbah, it's more where he has 9 animals, and the 10th one is this doubtful one. That says Abaye, I can't say that. Because as Siri Vadi Amr Rahman, the Torah only requires halacha ma'aser behema, which that halacha was saying that they're nechnas and ladir lisaser, that you do ma'aser, is only when there's a definite halacha ma'aser. V'loya Siri Safik, the halacha does not apply in situations of doubt. My whole scenario was doubt, must be that it's not a situation of doubt. How so? Because actually it is like Rabbah, that the Kohen has no rights in that animal, and we don't consider it as a Safik, because if it was a Safik, then you wouldn't go ahead and do the halacha of ma'aser of putting it into the deer. Must be definitely the Yisraels. And that was Rabbah's halacha, that even if the tukfa kohen, the Tohen grabs it away, might see nice and we're going to take it away from him, and therefore it is a right to Rabbah. Now just as a clarification, which we had already quoted that with the interpretation of Rashi, Amalei Rav Acham Adiftel Ravina says, my sfeikis, what was this b'raisa that we had quoted before that said that the doubtful ones, they go into the pen to be used and to be for the count of ma'aser, to take off ma'aser behema? What doubtful animals are we talking about? So he says, Ilei Misafik Bechairis, if you would entertain to say it's doubtful firstborn animals, which again is a case of matnas behema, matnas kahanim, which you're not sure, so it's a doubtful halacha, and that's where we would say that it goes into, where again, we're saying that it's the Yisrael gets to keep it, but it's doubtful Bechairis, and that says, the Gemara, you can't say that, because Yeh Kodesh Rahman, the Torah says regarding the halacha of Ma'aser Behema, that the 10th one will be sanctified. V'lo Shekvar Kodesh. It can't be something that's already sanctified, which is by Bechairis. So if it's doubtfully going to be a firstborn animal, you can't put that into the deer to be used for Ma'aser Behema, because the Bechairis cannot become Ma'aser. Ella, rather, it's Safek Pidyon Petach Amor, like we were describing up until now. It's a doubtful redeemer of the firstborn donkey, which is a sheep that was separated on doubt if this was a firstborn donkey. Because even if it was a definite firstborn donkey, the sheep that's being used to redeem it doesn't have any sanctity. Okay, Rav Nachman, like Rav Nachman illustrated this concept that by Safek Pidyon Petach Amor, since it's considered the Yisrael's own animals, there obviously is going to be an obligation of Ma'aser. Dam Rav Nachman, Rabbi Baravu, he says, Yisrael shesh lay asara Safek Petrich Amor b'tech beisai, a Yisrael that has 10 doubtful Petrich Amor in his house, meaning he has these 10 donkeys that are all doubtful if they were firstborn animals or not. So what you do is mafresh alein asara sein. So he has to separate for each one of those animals, which is a total of 10 sheep, to remove their isser that they have, because now at least he could do work with it. So now the kedushas b'chayr of the donkey is transferred to the sheep. But uma asron, he goes ahead and he takes ma'aser of it, because as we said, there's no halachic problem of yir kodesh, because there is no sanctity for the petach amor and neither for the pidyon petach amor, and v'hein shaloi. And they're going to be his, meaning the 9 animals are his. And moreover, the Ma'aser Behema, as the halach is by Ma'aser Behema, he takes that up and brings it as a carbon in Yerushalayim. That is what he does with this. And therefore, that's the clarification of the halachic case that we spoke about of the Sveikis or Nechnosin Ladir Lisaser. Again, it can't be, it's obviously talking about some suffix of Matnas Kahuna. Can't be talking about of a Bechair. Of a regular of Bechairis, because as we said, then if it was Kaddish, then you can't make it into Ma'aser, it can't be Yir Kaddish. Rather, it's talking about a Safek Pidyon Petach Amor, where there the halacha is that they're Nechnasin Ladir Lis Aser, they go into the pen to have taken Ma'aser off of it, which again, as we explained, it obviously is talking about a proof to Rabbah that although it's doubtful if it's the Kohen's or not, but if the Kohen would grab it away, obviously we would take it back from him, we'd be Mitzina Yisimimena, because if yes, then he would have rights, and then the Yisrael would be pattering himself, he would be exempting himself with the Kohen's money, and he can't do that, and you can't describe it the way Abaye had initially described it to reject the proof, where it was 9, and then that one is the 10th one, because and then Mamon of Shalchi is not exempting himself with the Kohen's money, because again, that would be a case of Safik, and there is no halacha of Safik being used for an obligation of Ma'aser Behema, as a Abaye proof in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus that says you're exempt, even though over there, seemingly, there's nothing to lose and maybe for sure potentially to gain by taking off Maaser over there, because if it's not from that 10 and this 10 is just regular 10 animals for sure, and even if it's from that one that jumped back in, it's also from the Min HaRoi which exempts, so why don't you do that? Because it's only a Asirah Vadim, Rechmona B'lai, Asirah Safik, and therefore that halacha of must be Hasvikas Nechnas Ladir, Leis Aser is talking about a regular Safik, Pidyon Petach Amar, where it's considered totally the Yisrael's money, and he's not exempting himself with the Kayin's mammon, because the halacha is takvu kayin, mitzin oisim imenu. We actually do remove that from the kayin who grabs it away, and therefore that takes us back to what was originally Rav Amnun that was trying to bring a proof from the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus regarding the question of the bathhouse, regarding the question we had in Oman Aleph, where someone grabs away from the other person and then he's makdashid. That was Rav's interpretation, was saying you can't bring that whole proof. Because the whole proof of Rav Nuna was the premise was based on the fact that we think that the way Rav Nuna was interpreting the Mishnah over there, that must be when the Kohen grabs it, we don't take it away from him. And that's why even when he doesn't grab it away, there's going to be Kedusha, which that's how you want to resolve the question with the bathhouse. And that said, Rabbah, no, there's no proof. Because actually, and that's what we proved to Rabbah, Takvu Kohen, we actually do take it away from him. So then why is there Kedusha, as we said in the Brisa of the Isra for Gizan and Avaida? That's because the person's own obligation between him and Hashem, because the Kedusha is Bechariz Memela, that can't be approved to like the bathhouse or regarding the Talis, where one guy orally makes the declaration of making it Hektish. That we could say, as the other side in that question, I mean, Alf said that you can't be Makdish something that's not Beshusai, Ma Besi Beshusai, Av Kol Beshusai. So the Gemara has not yet resolved the question regarding the Masusa, which the Gemara in the next Alf will continue to resolve that question regarding the bathhouse, where one guy was Makdish, what's the halacha? Is it considered Kaddish and they can't use the bathhouse or not?